Okay, we're recording. Just for the record, if you can state your full name, please.
I'm Thabo Ephraim Lekgwaba Makwele. So Lekgwaba is for my grand, that's my granddad's name. So traditionally we respect our elders by giving the youngest the names.
Okay.
And then I grew up here in Rambolo Zivisma School. Started schooling around participated in the revolution of change. I was a leader in the high school up to 85, and then I went down to Sasol. I worked as a boilermaker and as a security officer. But for the passion that I had for education, I came back, started schooling, and then I was having friends, but I started minimizing them to be able to concentrate on my education, and then successfully I did it. And
okay, just tell us a little bit about you were born here in this community.
Yeah.
Okay, what year were you born?
Where?
What year were you born?
Yeah. 67.
In 67.
11.
Okay. Okay. So just tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up in this community in those in the 70s and.
It was very nice. It was very nice because of the, if you look at the atmosphere now and then the situation that time, though it was very hard in the sense of the ruling party by the time. But checking on other things that are now loose, the discipline, the respect, the way of in which we as youngsters handle things, then really, when you check back, you think of going back, taking the time.
And what about the socioeconomic situation at the time? Yeah,
it was very hard, but it was nice. You, like I'm saying, it's very much conducive when you are happy. We were not happy as Africans, but as families we were happy, because at the end of the day, the respect, the mutual understanding, communication was there. You any man, any black man was your dad, your parents, your brother, your sister. But with regard to the state of emergencies and all those things, it was hard for us. But we were together. We were working all forcefully together.
Okay.
Economic-wise, it was hard also. But we could manage out of that. Now everything is fine. It's in the hands of the people. But the problem is one. Only those who are rich and those who are friends to those in power only succeed.
Okay, but we'll get to that, the more contemporary situation. But just tell us a little bit more about your time as a student activist in the 80s in particular. You said you came back and you were involved here in the struggles.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, we were combined. We had that passion of changing the country, that is to be liberated. So everyone's concept was to see us into that new field of which we were not even knew how it looks like. We were heard of being called names of by those who were using the racial names to us. But that is why we end up as students coming together and trying to change things. But though we didn't just started saying we don't want apartheid, we started rioting against certain things that forms part of apartheid. That was the language used at school, the times, the harsh things that were done by the principals and all sectors from the system.
Okay, and were you a member of any organization like COSAS at that time? Or
no, COSAS was not there by the time.
Okay, what was it just a local organization?
Yeah, we were called the South African Youth. We, we never had a specific names like now. That was an umbrella name that just combines us under the roof of the liberators. That is the liberation forces.
Okay.
And then, but we were just calling, yeah, like that.
Okay. And when did you leave to go work? As you said, in the...
It was 84.
In 84.
Yeah.
And you say you were a boiler maker.
Yeah, I started as a boiler maker.
What was your experience when you went to the work?
There was no experience. It was like I said, it was just life was good for us. At the end of the day, I was one kind of a person that was loved by the white community. I don't know why they loved me. I never had a problem with communicating to them whatsoever. From that age, with that broken language, but I could communicate, and it was very nice for me. I worked as boilermaker for a period of 6 months, and then I said, no, this is not what I wanted, because what was in me, even now, I still believe that I can be a soldier for the country. But because of the restrictions and all those things, we couldn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you came back to Ramaluzi?
Yeah.
What year was that?
It was 87.
87?
Yeah.
Okay, and then after that, what did you do from 87 on?
87, I came up 86 late, but to start schooling 87.
Mm-hmm.
But it was unfortunate because the schools were full due to more population from the farms coming down. The secondary here was the only source of education, and that was the only secondary. We never had others. So we had to platoon, and then in 87, down the line, I had to do something because of the shortage of space in school. And then 88, I started doing the standard 7.
Okay.
They were not called grades. Standard 7, because I wanted to refresh my mind. It was not of good use for me to start from where I ended first.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to start back, so as to recap. And then 89, 1991. Let me tell you, from that year, I've been working on very good, because that standard, my position from the whole year, we were making competitions with regard to evaluate ourselves. I was in top 5 the whole year, and then at the end I was number 3. Standard 8, deserved the same. Standard 9, the same. Standard 10, the same, and then got the exemption. And then 92, I started trained as a teacher at Mpohali College.
Okay. And at that time, when you started training as a teacher, that was 92, 93,
yeah.
Things in the country were changing quite rapidly. I mean, the negotiations were on.
Yeah.
As a young person, someone who'd been involved, how do you remember that period of time, that early 90s, when things were moving quite fast?
I remember I was supposed to skip the country, myself and Araga, the one friend. It was not a friend. Just a guy that we grew up together. And then certain guys from the MK came up and said, no, it's not good for you guys to go out the country now, because we are all coming back, irrespective of what, we are all coming back. We have to fight from inside now. And then I was heartbroken, because really I wanted to go out, because I was I love my country. Even today, I love my country. That is why I ended up joining DA, because of what they did to me. Not to me, but to the people.
Okay, so in 94, when the elections happened and everything, how did you feel at that time?
It was a very good moment. And the moment that one will never forget. Really, to see everyone participating, making the first mark of his life, then it was a very good thing.
Okay, and at that time, had you come back, had you finished your school, college?
Yeah, and then 95 I started working. But I think it was April. I started working in April, yeah.
And what job was that?
Teaching.
Here in Ramaluzi? Yes, as a high school teacher? Or as a primary?
Primary, yeah.
Okay. Just out of interest, what subjects in particular were you, or just generally?
You know what? I did everything.
Okay.
Yeah, but specifically, the one that I mastered with is English, Sotho, Afrikaans, biology, history, and education itself.
It's quite a range. And how did you find, at that point, that was the early 90s, the change had come, the new government was here, how did you find the educational system as a teacher?
It was very difficult, because many things were introduced. At the end of the day, as a teacher, we were lost. Within 2 months, a program is introduced. The OBE, the curriculum 2005, so many things were introduced. At the end of the day, you never knew what to teach. You were just teaching for the sake of doing the job. Many trains were done, programs. We couldn't even understand ourselves exactly where are we going to end with this.
And in terms of the quality of the education you thought the children were getting?
It was poor. No, I cannot run away from that. And it was poor because it was not, at the end of the day, reaching the limit, because some of the things at the end of the day we couldn't even force them to be here by the students because of the lack of discipline. Discipline started dropping down because it was scraped up from the level.
And why do you think that? You've mentioned that in the past the discipline was something you really liked, and then now it's no longer after when you started teaching that was becoming a problem. Why do you think that that shift took place?
Yeah, you know what? Maybe this is wrong. This judgment is wrong. But I think for my side, it's right. Because some people start seeing it the same that I was saying. I don't say people should be abused. I don't say that. But you should know the line. There should be a line. When I'm talking to you, creator should have a line. Line of respect. Know exactly who is this one. But now it's different. Your boy can smoke in front of you, you don't have to say anything. Your wife can do whatever things that we say. We as men see as wrong. This, then you don't have to say anything. You don't have to say anything. I'm still saying that those people who introduced that, maybe they lost a track.
When you say introduce that, what do you mean?
No, what I'm saying is whoever came up with the concept of abolishing discipline, not abuse, abolishing discipline. Because abuse and discipline, those are two different stories.
But are you saying that discipline is corporal punishment?
No, I don't say corporal. Corporal goes with abuse. I don't say abuse. I'm saying discipline. You should be able to communicate. Listen, this is wrong and I don't take it. You are a father, you know why you're saying this. Even though maybe by the time you don't explain reasons by the time, I should accept. When time is right, you can say no. Because of 1, 2, 3, 4, that is why I accept 1. But you cannot say anything now.
Okay, and when is it that you started becoming involved in the sort of local politics again and party politics, should I say?
The first 5 years, I was still with the ruling party. The second 5 years, still inactive, no more active, inactive, because of the results of the first 5 years. I accepted that by the first 5 years, they were trying to recap, to make home. But let me talk from local here. It was very bad. Some of those who were in power abused the positions. They abused the positions. In the sense of employment, which is the mayor thing in our lives, we were not working. Some of our people were not working. I was working, no problem. But I'm talking about the community down there. They were not working. It was embarrassing. At the end of the day, when you see someone not qualified as you, working somewhere in the municipalities because of a card, and you are still having a card of the same party, and then the participation that you gave to that party different from what this other person is giving, and then that person is working. And then at the end of the day, he's ruling you and he's telling you. There are so many things who are happening here. Local level. That is why the outcry is so loud that ANC is doing nothing with regard to jobs. They are only enriching themselves, their friends, and their chains. That's what.
What did you think of, as at the time, even if you might have been inactive in the late 90s, of the ANC government's national policy, macroeconomic policy? In other words, the new way of looking at growth and development and other things in the 90s that was adopted. Do you think that had any impact at the local level?
Yeah.
What kind of impact?
Like I said, maybe this will be a wrong example, but few or certain elements, certain people from the very same only benefited from what they introduced. Not everyone. Not everyone. It's of no use you as a spearheader, you introduce something, and at the end of the day, you benefit rather than the people that you wanted to introduce this for.
Can you give us some examples at the local level of how that played itself out here? You know, the people who were benefiting. How were they benefiting? I mean, what kinds of things were being done to benefit certain people?
You check on the jobs. Let me say to the municipal level.
Mm-hmm.
At first, all municipal work. Let me start back. Yeah, the municipal workers, the administrator, the administration part of it, everything. First, those people were working hard, and municipalities were the poorest people by that time. Because they were working wholeheartedly. They never thought of everything to their pockets. And I'm not saying there were nothing wrong by the time, but I'm saying, well, with regard to this one now,
mm-hmm.
it's different. Let me say, those who are working in the municipalities and having the card of a ruling party, they only employ their fellow comrades into that. No one, not Blamage, not whoever who's not a card-carrying member of that, can get to that. You have to be maybe a closer friend or whatsoever to be able to. And it's happening. Not here. That is why Dennisville, a councillor, was killed because of that. The councillor was involved into that. Those are the things.
Okay. And then when did you start making the shift to the DA? And that's an interesting shift for someone with your background. Tell us about that.
During the third term of the ruling party now. Because like I said, the first 5 years I was with them, the second 5 years I was just ignorant and not active. And then I ended up saying no. I started hating people who abuse other people, and at the end of the day, I said, no, let me just study where really can I fit. And I was looking around, I said, okay, up to so far, this number one opposition party to this ruling party, it looks to be the party that will shift certain things, because when you check on the principles and policies, they say Batopili is Batopili. Why? Because they say service first, service delivered. That's what they're fighting for. They don't say engagement, they say service delivered. And then service delivery, how can you? So at the end of the day, you should contribute to the lower classes.
Just 1 second. And how did you get into touch with the DA? I mean, was there a branch in Ramaluzi or?
There was a branch here. I joined the DA with the influence of my brother. One little brother was working for the DA, just as an office bearer. It was not a, we never had a DA counselors, just an office bearer. Then mine was just to be there and study, because I never wanted to be influenced. I wanted to make my decision and be okay with it. And then it was like that. I started and doing the office work, learning, reading, and then okay, fine. This is exactly what I wanted, because that's what I fought with my colleagues that side. Because if wrong is wrong is wrong, I don't mind who are you. Wrong is wrong.
And how did it differ from the kind of work that you were doing in the ANC in the first 5 years?
No, not that much different, because like I said, what brought problems between the two of us, that is myself and then the other guys in that party, we couldn't agree. They were saying wrong is wrong, so that was the problem. So when you check into this one, they say service delivery. So meaning we should, what I wanted to be done that side, I'm able to do this side.
Okay. And how did it, just out of interest, you earlier said from early age you'd never looked at skin color, it didn't matter, people are people. So it didn't, for you, I'm sure that there was a perception in this community that the DA represents a particular kind of racial interest. How did you deal with that?
For me, it was very, 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 very simple, because like I said, let me start from a certain year before. I remember it was before 94, before the first election. I was still ANC. I was still with them, active and doing the. And a certain lady from the white community, which was the DP by the time, I think, yeah. Because of what the potentiality that I have, and then the activeness. She came to me, and then I was running the cricket, because I introduced cricket in Fusion School in Ramoluchi. I was the first black man introducing that here. And then we wanted to bring the two communities together. But I was challenged, saying that I'm selling the nation, because I was talking to the white community. They thought I'm going to sabotage the elections. So now it comes back to your question. Even today, they still say, you think you're white, you think you're whatever, but I know for a fact. They discriminate. They are in a racial race now, rather than in a delivery race. But I don't mind. But let me tell you, it worked and it is recognized. You can ask Brameji, he knows, and he can testify. People, anything that they want, they know, all right, Tau is there, and then we'll talk to him, and then about this, then he can be able to. And I don't have any difficulties with regard to skin. But other people do. But at the end of the day, those who had the perception, because it was not with them, it was thrown in by certain people, they start to analyze and say, yeah, this is right. At the end of the day, because some people say that a white man knows exactly, and you work for that, you get what you earn. But with us, at the end of the day, you look into your pocket first, and then you want to, and then your family, then you forget about
the skin issue.
Exactly.
Yeah. And when did you decide to run for office? Or when did the party put your name forward?
I remember it was there was a problem, yeah, with regard to employment. And then people...
You need to take that.
Can I?
Sure.
Okay,
we'll just continue. So just, okay. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying it was a more, because we were still having that problem, that it was something that was an issue burning inside us. People wanted jobs, and then we wanted to fight this corruption of giving jobs to the friends and buddies and cherries. Then there was a project coming down for, yeah, just for Suresh, perhaps. It was even before the elections, man. And then I was just passing, dressing in a DA shirt, and then passing that side. I saw people gathering. I said, "What is this?" I said, "No, this is the thing." Okay, fine. I went down there, and then already there were lists. Four lists making 400 and something, I think, names on it. And only 20 people were needed for that particular project. And then I asked some questions. What is happening here? And then they started saying, no, this is thing, and then this thing of this party hiring their friends must come to an end. And then how are we going to stop it? Rather than talking, how are we going to stop it? They said, no, come up with it. I said, all right, fine. And then I suggested, I said, listen, what is the problem? I asked them the chosen few who were just running them to the list. Who made the list? No, we were told to make the list. No, who? No, they didn't want to disclose. I said, fine, no problem. But it's not going to happen. Those lists, we're going to destroy them. We either start new list of those who are here. Because from that list, I went took the list and then check up. Some of the people were working. They were going to leave their jobs to come and work there. But it was stupid because working permanently and coming to work for a project which is gonna run for a short time. So you understand? You could just sense this thing was done without just to what? To make a favor or so ever. Mm. Which was wrong. And then I met with the personnel who work for that project. I said, listen, you're not going to do it this one. You stop and this thing stops now. And then I phoned a certain lady for DA, white lady for the DA. I said, listen, this is the situation. How are we going to do this? And then she never knew because she was new into politics. And then I said, listen, I'm going to do what I will do. And then we made one list, including everyone, those who were in that list, and not present, we scraped them off, concentrated on the people who were present by the time. And then we made a raffle, then people were chosen. And then wrote the report down to DA. And it was like that. I stopped the rubbish that was supposed to take place that time. And then during the elections, it was unfortunate. I couldn't win the ward because I was standing for a certain ward. I couldn't win the ward. But because of what I did, that mark, where we went to an interview after the elections for PR councillors, because with DA is different from this party. You go through the procedure, the process, the interview by 19 members of that panel, of that team. You'll be interviewed. At the end of the day, I won. And then that mark was still with them. So that mark was known within the members of the head of the DA.
What year, which elections are you referring to? What was the last local government election?
This
2005.
Yeah, we started 2005, 2006.
Because 2006, that's right, and yeah. Beginning of last year. Yeah. So you got on as a PR list,
yeah.
Okay? And I understand there's one other DA councillor in the area. Is that correct? Is there two of you?
Yeah, that one, she won. The same lady that I phoned.
Uh-huh.
We were communicating together.
She won the ward.
She won the ward.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us a little bit, now that you've been for the almost, what, 2006, a year and a half?
Yeah, it's a year and
you've been a counselor. What? How's it been being a DA counselor, Rama Luzzi, which is dominated by the ruling party?
You know what, it was very hard when it started, but let me tell you the change, and people see the change. Because people are flocking down, up and down to me to bring to solve the problems. So like I'm saying, it's good for me to put my head on the block for the people. I don't mind what you say. Only if I know that what I'm doing is right.
And what kinds of things have you, just give us some example of the kinds of work that you're doing as a DA counselor.
Specifically a PR. We as a PR, yours is to build a party. You can just imagine. I won't say this. I will never mention this to the media, because my strategy.
Sure,
my,
sure.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you still doing the same jobs that a ward councillor do. You attend to the problems of the people. You go up and down, running for anything the community brings down. You attend to it. House problems, whatever problems. Water problems, roads, sewerage, all those things, we attend to that. And then at the end of the day, they will wake you up, 12 o'clock, whatever, then you have to.
And how have you seen certain things changing for the better or not? Or how has the track record been so far?
Yeah, let me tell you, the footprint of DA is visible. Because some of the things which were done, the way they were done, because there was no opposition by the time. The first 5 years and there was no opposition. The second 5 years, there was a DA PR council. There was, yeah. I forgot to mention, there was, but he was inactive. He was even swallowed by the ruling party. And anyway, he was not visible. But now it is visible, because people can even talk. When they do things, they say, no, okay, no problem. We are not going to join you. We are going to join DA.
And how has the response been by the ruling party to your activities in the community?
You know what? You don't want to know about it. They hate me because they hate someone who is intelligent to come and teach them. That is why there's brought the infight within them. Because those who are against them, whom they fight against, they are those who want to put light. Guys, you are making mistakes. 1, 2, 3, 4. So at the end of the day, they sideline them as their own members. So that is why we are having these problems. But I don't mind. I don't mind with me. Because it's happening with them. So what?
Okay. And as a counselor, what would you identify as the key challenges for this community now, in terms of both, whether that's socially, economically, politically, in Rama Luzzi in particular?
Let me start with a political fact. We understand that ANC was part of the liberation forces. Not ANC only liberated the people. No, it's wrong. Because there were so many, many, many forces. The Steve Biko's, the whoever, the ASAPO's, the PSC's, many things. I appreciate that. I accept that. And then I will remain respecting the old man. I will remain respecting that guy. I wish he could have time to rule again. Maybe we couldn't have what we have now. And people now that we are now faced with a problem, I think people should make a reasonable choice by choosing oppositions to guard against the ruler. Because if a ruling without any opposition is like maybe, it's a lost nation, let me say. It's a nation in the dark. Because anyone will do the way he or she likes, and then brings us into our country, in the map of the African states fails. So we are not part of that. So we're still happy. It's a privilege for us that it was accepted that oppositions must be given a thumb up. So it's good for that. So, but now, people should use that opportunity to say, all right, fine, you failed. Let's put the next one. If he, she fails, the next one. That's how it should work. And then, economically, we need the parties, the ruling party, should focus on uplifting the standards of the lives of the corporate. No way in which corporate can perform very good while at the end of the day the corporate is getting nothing from that, or is used as a source, is milked out. You understand what I'm saying?
When you say corporate, are you talking about a big business?
Yeah, I'm talking about that. The municipalities must sit down with corporate, try to do things that would encourage corporate to expand. Like corporate maybe with regard to check on the water supplies, the electric supplies, the land. If the corporate wants to buy a land, you don't have, because you say this guy is having money, let me just suck him up. No, you destroy the business, because that piece of land that he's buying is going to extend, and then he's going to need people to work there. So at the end of the day, municipalities should play a role of making the economies, of the local economies, visible. Should inculcate people to come down, should make a way of inviting others to come to the municipalities.
Mm. So do you think in Ramaluzi that would mean that there should be greater involvement of the private sector?
Exactly that.
Okay.
And then socially, our people need to be taught that a human being is a human being, irrespective of a white or black or green or so ever. No. And let me tell you that we reflect the image of God, irrespective of our color. Because a white color is a neutral color. A black color, like we are saying, we are black, is a neutral color. You will never change that color to become pink or brown. It remains black. You mix it with whatever, it remains black. And it was saying, there was a saying, black is beautiful, and it remains like that. And then white is also beautiful. You cannot mix white with any color, it remains white. So, but other colors can mix, becomes pinky, blue, whatever, but with us, it means we are from somewhere special that we reflect in someone else, and that is God. Irrespective of what the scientists are saying, where do you come from as scientists? Where do you come from? Okay. So I was saying, our people need to be taught. This guy is a guy, is a very good guy, then, you understand? And then our white community also, they need to be taught to accept and forget them. Because we still have them who are still pointing fingers, making it difficult for us to come together. They are still those. They need to change. Even their way of talking, even from the working field. Some still uses those things which were used in the past. So that makes it difficult for us.
Okay. And just a very specific question, sorry, I should have asked this previously, but you were saying that your constituents, a lot of the people in the community, coming to you regularly. Yes. What are the main problems that people come to you as a counselor with? What would
jobs.
Be the main thing?
Jobs, Papa. Jobs, houses. Jobs, houses, food. How can you eat if you don't work? Where will you sleep if you don't have a house, a roof? And then because it was also mentioned in the newspapers everywhere that even the houses, these RDP houses, are still being given to the friends and families, not to the needy. So what is the problem? Okay. Like now, if you can go to the municipality office now, there's a queue of people who are waiting their names, whatever for the specific things for the house thing.
Okay, do you have? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, just a couple last questions. What would you identify, well, not identify, but if you were to look in the next, let's say, 5 years, you're a councillor until, when's the next election? It's 2010. 2011. So you've got quite a term to run. How would you look at the next 3 years in terms of what you think should happen in this community and what you think will happen? So the what you would like to see and what you think is going to actually.
I want to see people working. The ruling party should stop using the government thing, the people's thing, to their political benefit. Because anything that they do, they say, we as ruling party have done this. And they are using the sources of the country to benefit themselves. So it's wrong. That should stop. And I need to see the lives of the people changed. And how is that change? That is working, having houses, having food, be able to live, to do whatever they want to, and then our education system also should start to change with regard to in our township here, because we still have some schools that are plateauing and it's difficult in winter time. Then it's a problem.
So you mean more personnel and more resources?
Exactly. Is that yeah.
Okay. And very lastly, we always ask all of our interviewers, people, if there's something that you would like to say that we have not asked. We've asked a lot of questions, but we might not have covered something that you think is important to say or to talk about. We give you the opportunity at the end of the interview to do so now.
Yeah. No, you know what? I think I've covered everything. I'm okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.